Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The voice of Joe Buck calling the game last night on ESPN. Buck and Aikman, absolutely sensational, as always. And then Houston Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans. DeMeco had a lot to say after last night's game. And we will get to some of that in a moment. But first, the play calls there. When you get down by the goal line there, and look, like I can understand to a degree, you don't want to run the ball with Nick Chubb. Like, you can't run the ball with Nick Chubb because he's not fast enough to get to the edge at the goal line. And, like, Vita Vea is going to absolutely blow up the middle of the offensive line for the Houston Texans. So I can understand, like, not wanting to run with Nick Chubb there. You also have Woody Marks, who I've been calling for months with Joe Mixon out to be the primary running back of this team, who actually looked good and had some juice running the ball last night. You had him as an option. Or, you know, maybe you could quarterback sneak it from the 1 yard line. And I know I'm saying, like, the middle of the line gets blown up potentially. Like, tush push. Are the Eagles the only team that can run this play? No one else can run this play. There's nothing else you can do there but to throw two passes in each corner of the end zone to Nico Collins. Like, that's it. The fourth down play call on fourth and one. This is one of those calls. Sprint left option is the name of the call. And I'm not trying to, like, this is not me cosplaying as, like, you know, like I'm like a football, like an X's and O's guru. I'm not. But look, like, that's what the play's called. Sprint left option, right? You cut off one side of the field with a right-handed quarterback in C.J. Stroud, and he can't find Nico Collins, who's covered in the end zone by Zion McCollum. It's one of those play calls where, and I'm not trying to make it like, oh, well, you know, it's like the weak side linebacker did this, so he should have had the safety valve coming up to, I don't know any of that. I don't care about any of that. I don't know it. I don't pretend to know it. But this is one of those calls, again, where you don't have to be a football coach. You don't have to be grinding the all-22 in a smoke-filled room with like a couple fingers of bourbon, licking Cheeto dust off your fingers like a stone college freshman. You don't have to do that. To watch that play call and know this is tremendously stupid. When everyone that's watching, and everyone goes on social media immediately to say, what the hell was that? Chances are it's not good. And I'm not trying to paint this as like groupthink and like, if everyone says something, it has to be right. This one was obvious. What a stupid play call. And you move on from Bobby Slowick, and the thought is, it can't possibly get worse. Okay, like I can buy that it can't get worse. But maybe it can be just as bad. And on the third down play, where I got the back corner of the end zone to Nico Collins, like, can we have, like, a real, like, a measured C.J. Stroud conversation. Stroud actually has Nico Collins on that play. Now think about the touchdown pass that Collins caught on the opening drive of the game. Like, he's one of the best receivers in the league. Period. Full stop. He's outstanding. If you get him the ball with any limited amount of real estate, you have confidence he's going to catch it and get his feet down. He's outstanding. Stroud's got him and just absolutely misses him. And to be fair to Nick Caley, who blew the fourth down call, like, we may not be having this Nick Caley conversation. He may not get exposed with that brutal fourth down play call if Stroud makes the throw that he needs to make on third down. A brutal miss by C.J. Stroud. You know, Jake played that DeMeco Ryans soundbite coming back from break. DeMeco Ryans separately was asked about C.J. Stroud's struggles. DeMeco said, and I quote, "We go 2 for 9 on third down. What do we even do if we can't get the ball in at the goal line? He kind of crushed Stroud in a really nice way. He's a good coach, and he seems like a good communicator. Like, he's not going to outright throw Stroud under the bus. He's not going to do that. And he's not going to, halfway do it with, a crazed look on his face like Liam Cohen. We'll get to the Jags-Texans game on Sunday in a few. He basically, read between the lines, he crushed C.J. Stroud after this game for Stroud's performance. Stroud had an unbelievable rookie season 2 years ago. It's one of the best rookie seasons a quarterback's had in the history of the National Football League. And we've kind of, forgotten about it because, Jaden Daniels then, one-upped him last year and, got to championship Sunday. It's also worth noting, in fairness to C.J. Stroud, he's been the quarterback of the Texans for 2 years. They've been in the final four of the AFC both years. That does need to be said. It does need to be said. But we watch the games. C.J. Stroud unquestionably took a step back last year. Unquestionably. There's no doubt about it. And I'll even use fantasy football as a barometer here. I think people can understand the way I'm going to phrase this, right? Stroud was a top fantasy at quarterback last year. This year, you could get him very late in drafts as your QB2. Not a great season last year for C.J. Stroud, despite the division championship and then throttling Justin Herbert and the Chargers in the wild card round. And the thought is, you fire Bobby Slowick, new coordinator, reshuffle the offensive line, we're going to get C.J. Stroud right. And he can turn it around. He's facing two playoff teams, two good defenses. Todd Bowles, a defensive mastermind. He can get it going. I don't know how you watch these first two games of the season and you're not disappointed in Stroud, even with not a ton of talent around him. Because if he's that level of quarterback, then he should be able to elevate Dalton Schultz, elevate Xavier Hutchinson, and the rookie receivers, and it hasn't happened just yet. Again, this is why I didn't like the Texans coming into the year. Offensive line issues, see about the play caller, lack of talent at the skill positions. Do you trust Stroud to be able to get the job done with all of these things potentially working against him? Two games into the season, and he has not passed the test. And they're 0-2 to start the season are the Houston Texans. And that takes us briefly here to Sunday's game on the road in Jacksonville against the Jaguars. And I bet the Jaguars to win the division. And I said multiple times over the summer, my thought is less that I love Jacksonville. I do like Jacksonville more than I want to be anti-Houston. Perhaps I backed the wrong horse in this race. It's possible that that's the case. And maybe literally the other horse, the colt, was the right one to back. We'll see. Indianapolis at 2-0. But at this moment, I feel decent about my decision to go against Houston. And you already know, I'm betting the Jaguars this week. I'm taking Jacksonville. Because for as good as Houston's defense did against Baker in the passing game, and we'll talk about Tampa in a second, Bucky Irving and Rashad White ran down their throats. And now, here's Travis Etienne and Bashal Tuten. Brian Thomas Jr. can't be worse. Shouldn't say that. Maybe he could be. I'll take the Jaguars over the Texans coming up on Sunday to send Houston to 0-3. You bet on this Tuesday, recapping Monday Night Football. Now, as for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not quite a Pyrrhic victory for them, losing Kalijah Kancey, first-round pick a couple years ago on the defensive line, torn pectoral, going to be out for the season. I don't know if this is Pyrrhic victory category, but that sucks, right, to lose a really good player on the defensive line. So that does need to be said, that happened. They lost Kancey for the season last night, but they did win.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I think we've got our technical issues squared away. Apologize to everybody. It looks like the call is stabilized here, so apologies for the issues there. If the connection dropped for a few seconds, it certainly did on video. So, an incredibly impressive win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, down both of their tackles last night. And Baker Mayfield, just majestic. Getting the tar beaten out of him, getting up, still ticking, still winning games. The closing drive for Tampa, 4th and 10, deep in their own territory. Baker with a first down run of 15 yards. When that play happens, I'm curious if you, the listener, you, the viewer, if you agree. In that moment, I am saying to myself, game's over. Tampa won. I don't think Baker is going to be denied. And he wasn't. And while Baker, correctly, is getting the flowers today, and everyone's praising Baker Mayfield, I'd like to take a moment, and I can't believe I'm doing this sincerely, to praise the game management of Todd Bowles. We are like squarely now in like dogs and cats flying. Hell has frozen over. The far left and the far right have come together to sing Kumbaya. Todd Bowles is managing the ends of games well for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, people can say what they want about did they or did they not let Nick Chubb score? I think they absolutely did. And then the management at the end, keeping the timeouts and giving them the option to run or pass at the end of the game, I thought was absolutely brilliant. And ending with a Rashad White touchdown run where I feel like everyone knew they were going to run the ball there with timeouts, with 9 seconds on the clock. And Houston had to know it also, and they couldn't stop it. I thought it was brilliant from Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And now Tampa, 2-0 to start the year, with two last-minute comebacks on touchdown drives, two wins on the road, without Chris Godwin, without Tristan Wirfs, and for this game, without Wirfs, Godwin, and Gadicke, both their tackles and one of their best wide receivers. So I spent some time earlier today thinking about it, because I'll be real with everyone. It felt a little different to me last night. The Buccaneers felt a little different to me last night with another Baker Mayfield comeback. So the question I'm asking myself is, and I'm curious, you, the listener, and you, the viewer, as you think about this also, what's your opinion? Do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have an NFC championship winning upside this season? Can the Bucs win the NFC and get to Super Bowl 60? And I thought about it. And while I'm so impressed with what they've done to start the year, and I won't discount it at all, and I think they're going to win the NFC South, I do think Tampa will win the division. Because think about, again, like, Wirfs hasn't played and Godwin hasn't played and they've done what they've done. I still think the upside for this team is probably the divisional round. Lose to the Packers, lose to the Philadelphia Eagles, even though they've had success against the Eagles. Lose to the Rams. I don't know if I view Tampa in this category just yet. Now, I mentioned that there was a bet that I liked coming out of last night's game. That actually, a bet that had nothing to do with either Tampa or the Houston Texans. I can't stop thinking about the Atlanta Falcons. And I can't stop thinking about if the Falcons didn't lose their top two wide receivers at the end of week one against Tampa, they would have won the game. If they had Parker Romo kicking instead of Younghoe Koo, the game, like, in all likelihood goes to overtime, and who knows what happens from there. And then Atlanta slammed the Vikings this past Sunday night. With what we've seen from Tampa, the fact that Atlanta should have beaten Tampa in week one, and then destroyed the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, in one of the loudest stadiums I've ever heard, I think speaks very well to the Falcons' playoff chances this season. They're on the road at the Carolina Panthers this weekend. They're going to be 2-1. They're plus 105 to make the playoffs. I am in on the Atlanta Falcons at that price to make the playoffs as either a wild card team or the NFC South champions. On the other side, we'll recap Chargers, Raiders, the betting impact for both teams. And Femi will join with his betting opinions from last night.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.